Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
We'll ask Daryl about this, the Charles Robinson thing about Myles Garrett. Nick Wilson talked about it yesterday. I thought I was going to disagree. Maybe I'm going to agree. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, said, like, the Eagles might have been thinking about offering three first-rounders right now for Myles Garrett, which, that is a hell of a haul. And if you're saying absolutely not, maybe I agree with Nick here. Let's hear what Nick had to say.
To dismiss out of hand three first-round picks offered for Myles Garrett would be the most counterintuitive thing. Like, that would be another sign to me of, like, dysfunction, or that you can't get on the same page if you're not following the own logic, which is, hey, this is an incredible offer for an aging player. We at least have to have serious conversations about what that Godfather offer looks like.
Well, that's why the saving grace of this report is that Charles didn't get it directly from the Eagles. He said he got it from other people around the NFL. So, because it doesn't make sense. You're right. It doesn't make sense to, how would I even defend them turning a deal down that is offered up like this for Myles with where this team currently is? You can't do it.
All right, like, you gotta have a conversation. Like, the owner is the owner. You gotta pull Jimmy in and go, three first round picks, Jimmy. Unless he decided, you know, I'm not going to be the guy who went and got Deshaun Watson, who is a flop, and I'm not going to be the guy who also is known for both of these things, getting Deshaun Watson and trading away Myles Garrett.
Yeah, tough to recover from that. Obviously, publicly, you're not going to recover.
Anytime you bring him, like, he'll have a job again in the NFL after this is over. But immediately the fan base, when they announce that they've hired you in some capacity, whatever fan base you're going to, they know that.
Yeah.
And they're going to be critical of that team. That doesn't bar you from having a job in the NFL again, obviously. I mean, there's been plenty of guys who have not done so well as general managers who have had jobs and have ended up
Sasha
Brown's back in the NFL. You know, I was critical of bringing Ryan Grigson in some years ago. You remember that? I didn't like that. Yep. I thought he wasted Andrew Luck. Like, I've been critical of other guys, but they go on and they have careers in the league. But this is just one thing that you have to answer to basically for the rest of your career, rest of your life.
Do we have to come to terms as a show or a station or as a fan base?
Tell me.
When we say three first-round picks, does that really match what could be 32, 31, and let's just say, for instance, Like, does that sound like three first round picks? When we
they
just
give,
in your mind, what I'm saying is,
yeah, because you
in
know
your
why?
Mind, when you're dealing with Jacksonville and you're like, we're getting next year's first round pick, nobody is thinking 28 to 32.
Of course.
You're thinking like,
of course.
My God, if things go off the rails, maybe a top seven.
That's why I said yesterday, it's like, I don't know if he's moving in this time frame now. I think that you would consider it again because of who he is, because people are always going to call for him, and they're always going to think that you're not good. And right now, I got no backup to say you're going to be good at any time. That you would probably do it in the next offseason because it would roll over. You would go to 27 and 28, 29. You would be able to stagger it. And then you could get a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, who everybody thinks is probably not going to be drafting 28 to 32nd, and you get teams to lie to themselves.
I want to ask.
And they're going for it.
Well, I want to ask Owen because he's a Chiefs fan, and this is a team that he could go up against in the Super Bowl. Does Myles Garrett guarantee that those picks are going to be, if he's healthy, in the 30s?
Yes.
Like, you're terrified to go up against Myles Garrett, right?
Well, but it wouldn't be until the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But you saw what they did to the Chiefs' offensive line, which they've tried to retool. They did that with him without him last year. They completely dominated them in the Super Bowl.
Man.
I mean, yeah, that would be a problem. I don't think it would be anything under 28 for 3 years.
Right. But which is
these are NFC championship games every year.
Which, when we say first round picks, that doesn't sound like three
right.
first
no,
round
that
picks.
Is not. You're thinking at least like what, 12?
But it's 15, again, it's
like that would be the low end when you talk about first round picks.
You're right, but it's also more valuable currency because it's not just a first round pick; it's a fifth year of control.
That's a good point.
Now, again, if the player's not worth it, the player's not worth it. So you can always get a guy that you don't, Jed Wills. You can always get a guy that you really don't want for that fifth year. You might just do it out of necessity if you really need to, but you really don't want to.
All right, can I present to you one more thing, Kenny?
Please.
And this is it. This will be the last word for me.
Yeah.
You did.
What?
Before the season started.
What?
This is not the first time you've reacted to a potential Myles Garrett deal, right?
What are you going to use against me? Just go right on ahead.
Well, I do have... Back on, let me pull it up here.
I already know what I'm going to defend myself with
on
if
December
I get the chance.
December 19th, 2024, when Lindsey Rhodes came on the afternoon show, said, I think the Browns have to trade Myles Garrett. They're in such a deep financial hole and need so many things. You just wrote no, period. So has your mind changed drastically since that flippant dismissal of Lindsey Rhodes on Sports Radio 93.3?
How many draft picks she said we were getting? I wasn't trying to be flippant.
She just said they have to.
Just said no.
They have to trade him.
Well, because I didn't think it was going to make the situation any better in December, for crying out loud. And yeah, if you want to talk about flip flops, I don't think I've always just wanted to trade Myles Garrett. And right now I'm sitting in the middle of a hellish season. And when I see three first round picks coming up, I look at an opportunity to make my team younger and to make my team better in the future. Because there's plenty of teams that somehow don't have Myles Garrett and they go to the playoffs every year. So I know I have to get more good players. And I'm tapped out. I'm tapped out on my offensive line. I'm tapped out on my defensive. I'm tapped out at linebacker for the most part. Secondary is going to have to come back around again. Because how long is Devin Bush going to be great for me? So a wide receiver, for the love of everything. This is the worst wide receiver room I think you've seen since the fans been going.
Well, we've had some bad ones.
So I have to replenish.
Dwayne Bowe and Kenny
All
Britt.
All this. And so if I get two first-round picks over the next 4 years, if I can stagger this out, like, guys, I have to consider this. Because you guys are the general managers. We are the general managers who cannot be fired from this football team. So, yeah, I have to consider it. Things change.
I'm not
as
blasting.
You like to say,
I'm not, yeah.
No, I know what you did.
I'm not blasting Ken
like
for
say,
flip-flopping.
As you like to say, I have the benefit of new information. And my new information is I'm 2-6, and they're even worse at the quarterback position than I thought they would be, which is incredible to say.
Oh, and I'm seeing a little drip down the one side, and now
well,
the
you got
red,
what you wanted.
The red in front,
the red stripe
is just
sticking
is, yeah.
There's no
straight
way
up in the air.
Obviously. This crap off at the
no.
break.
We
I'm
gotta
taking
get Ken,
it off.
We gotta get Ken worked up at least one more massive time, like really get him fired
up. I know
up.
Ken, what you wanted to do.
Ken, much like his Myles Garrett takes, decommitting from them, moving in a different direction.
Come on, 216.
Oh, you got new information about your clown makeup
216-474-0092. Get Ken worked up on
I
a Friday.
I didn't realize I would get this many John Wayne Gacy comments, okay?
What was the Pennywise one, Owen?
Oh, Somebody, he's not penny wise. He's more like quarter pounder wise.
Watch this on YouTube Live.
If you're not trying to get Ken worked up on a day like today, then I don't recognize you as a listener of the show and a supporter of the show. You want to make this show better, get him worked up right now. Because I've done it over the years. It almost seems rote.
Well, this is the problem, is I can't have a serious conversation with you.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't, because now you're just trying to get me mad because you think it would be funny for me to yell at you in clown makeup. I know what this is.
I can't wait to see this video that's about to be published in about 48 seconds.
I'm sure it is, and I'm sure it's going to be absolutely ridiculous. I know I'm not thinking clearly, so maybe I don't do it now. You know what? No. But I have to consider it in the winter. Is he still worth three first-round picks in the winter?
Oh, I think
is he still worth three first-round picks in the winter?
Why are we operating from a position of weakness? Let's pit some teams up against each other.
Exactly.
Let's drive up the price.
Is he still worth three first-round picks in the winter? Then I'll consider it in the winter. I'm not considering it right now. Because the Eagles, they're going to be a playoff team. They're intending to be a late out in the playoffs, if not a Super Bowl contender. So if by the way, they're giving up three first round picks not to be in the middle. So yeah, maybe I can talk a Bears or somebody into thinking that they're going to be really, really, really competitive here for the short term and that they need to go for it. And I can't see a scenario, because I don't want to sit there and do everything to injury. Is it going to be worth three first round picks? Because at this time in the offseason, where's my offensive line at? You know, where's the other guys on my defensive line?
Under construction.
Where is Devin Bush? Where's my other linebackers at? Where are my guys in the secondary at? I got Grant Delpit there. I got Denzel Ward there. These are nice players. I know I got one coming back in MJ Emerson, but we'll see about his health coming back from it. There's a couple other good guys. And my wide receiver room is in shambles. So maybe I consider this in the wintertime. But you know what? No, you're right. It has to be talked about. I'm glad we fleshed this out. Because it has to be talked about right now, but at the same time...
Yeah, I was flushing out his eyes.
It has to be talked about right now, but at the same time, I say no. I say no, we'll talk about it in the wintertime. 216-474-0090.
The clown has spoken.
Can I say...
There's an eyewash station over in the lab.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Cash, love it,
hate it.
Coming up in 1 hour's time, giving us his picks for the weekend. We'll have quick hits coming up in 40 minutes time as well, because I forgot about doing that until just now. So that'll come up in about 40 minutes. A lot of good stuff in quick hits today on both sides.
Very excited for it. I was going to get upset if we didn't do it, because I have so much good stuff for it.
Yeah, that's usually what I start my prep with, because it's an easy launch into. Like, you just find like four or five things, like videos or whatever. It's the easiest thing to do for me. But then I'll generate topics off that, and then I can kind of ease into talking about the Browns.
For me, it's just an all day, all night, all everything venture, right? And so then I'm like bookmarking things, and then you just collect it all in the morning.
I like to do, this is kind of how I work creatively. I like to do a lot in a small amount of time, and then stop for a while, and then come back.
And then come back.
And a flurry of prep. And then, unless, of course, it's just watching games, at which that's just an act of patience at this point.
Yeah. Now, quick hits is an always evolving thing. And then, like, in the mornings, I like to sit down and actually just, you know, hang out and do it all.
I also like to play Madden in the mornings, and I'm very bad.
How'd you do today?
We're undefeated, but I might be out on Madden.
Why?
I think it's a time suck. And I was thinking about this this morning, and I was like, that's kind of a waste of my time this morning. I didn't really do anything productive there.
I heard you say something similar to Tom Withers.
And then I played two more games.
Yeah. So you acknowledged it was a time suck, and then you're like, let's do more of this?
So I was thinking about that while going to the bathroom this morning, and then I went and took a shower, because I'd already played like an hour in the morning,
okay.
And then I'd take the shower, and after it was like, I got time to kill, and it literally killed all my time. Just absolutely, what a time suck.
But that's a hobby, though. That's fun. I don't know. I like things.
I have fulfilling hobbies. I think that's the thing.
Oh, then good. Then ditch it. Yeah. If you got better things to do with your time, then, you know, great. Go do those things. But I just want to make sure you weren't just kind of like, you know, I don't know, sitting at the wall being like, hey, can I go to work yet?
By the way.
Yeah?
Are you guys seeing me eat Doritos in the break?
I don't have the YouTube up. Is that happening?
Well, because
they don't shut it off right away.
It's KI John's 4 saying Nick quickly hit those Dorits. You're right.
Yeah, because we got like, it's like 15 seconds or so before it cuts us off.
Did I hit that quickly? Was I that?
Maybe.
Was I that fat? Oh, darn. All right. Listen, yesterday.
They were good, I'm sure.
About half the show was Myles Garrett trade rumors.
Like Madden and Doritos. You're like 2 seconds away from being Zion Williamson.
16 years old again. If only there was a hint of desperation in my personal life.
Where's the Mountain Dew?
Yeah. Oh, I can't do that now.
Jake wanted me to make sure to let you know that, yes, you were that quick with the Doritos.
Great. That's awesome.
He goes, great. That's not a big deal. You got to eat.
I don't have to.
It's a five-hour show. You get to eat at some point.
Yeah, okay. Yes. All right. I had to eat when I had restaurant food earlier. I don't have to eat with these. I'm just being fat. If we're just being very clear about what's happening here, I'm just being obese.
Listen, and hand up, I've already admitted the despicable job that I've done with myself over the past couple weeks with this Halloween candy. So if that's as bad as it gets for yourself, I think you're ahead of the curve, man.
It won't be. Even a little bit.
I'm really trying to make this good for you.
You got a bag of candy in the car, too.
Yeah. Well, hey, Halloween is tomorrow, right? Does that add up right? Is that
you're
right?
You're being very generous here, and you don't need to be. Nick Wilson, known fat. Now, that being said, Myles Garrett took up, and the idea of a trade took up a lot of yesterday. And it all started Tuesday when Albert Breer and Connor Orr had the conversation about why the Browns' timeline doesn't match up with maybe Myles Garrett's timeline and why it would make sense to trade Myles. The Browns have since, through numerous reporters, have said, no chance. And listen, I think we know how far we can take the Browns' word on anything, but that closed the door until Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, well connected to the Browns organization, went on 102.5 The Game in Nashville. And this would be, I think, the third time in 5 weeks that we've played him talking about
the Cleveland Browns on a station in Nashville in 5 weeks.
Yeah, think about how sad this is for Nashville sports radio, by the way. It's like, we got to keep having Charles on. Anytime he talks Browns, the numbers go crazy.
I think it was just, can we stop talking about Jeffrey Simmons and trading him for a low, low price? I think that's where...
They probably really don't want to talk about Cam Ward sucking up the joint at this point.
Nah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Or he won't. That's all right. The new head coach will run him off in a year, and then they'll draft another guy. That's just how that's going to work there. And then he'll get fired, and it's a vicious cycle. But Charles had a pretty strong report here on maybe a team, a surprise team, or maybe not, that is lusting after Myles Garrett.
Rumor going around, and I have not heard it out of the Eagles, but I've heard it from a couple of other high-ranking people in other teams that are clearly on the phones, that, you know, Howie Roseman and the Eagles are super hot after Myles Garrett, and Howie'd give up like 3 first-round picks for him, which, you know, if it's coming for the Eagles, those are 3 late firsts. So it's like even arguable when you get through the draft process, you know, how many first round grades do you really have? Maybe you have between 14 and 18 in a typical year. And that means that if you're drafting in the late 20s, early 30s, you're not even getting a player that's really considered on your board unless you're lucky. But yeah, so that's kind of like this rumor that's out there that, hey, like Howie would really love a shot at him. But again, I was told by the Browns they're not interested in moving him.
Now, I think the reason why this is even more interesting is that Andrew Berry came back to Cleveland after a short stint in Philadelphia and has consistently told everyone how much he admires Howie Roseman and what he learned from his time in Philly.
Not just admires, says he thought, he's been on the record before saying he's the best GM in all football. Like, he is not just admires. I mean, that is his role model in the football world. And also, Andrew Berry's twin brother works for the Eagles, too. There's a lot of connections to the Eagles between the two teams.
Can I share my concern in this?
Twin brothers doing business?
I think it's more... I think he's
trying to help out Philadelphia?
I think there's a chance if Andrew Berry gets fired this year, he ends back up in Philadelphia.
It's a logical leap that you're taking.
And the funny thing is, the headline should be 3 first-rounders. There's something a little too incestuous here about this report being out there, about just this idea. Like, I almost wouldn't trust Andrew Berry to make... I would trust any other GM in the NFL to make this trade, because it's a 30-year-old edge rusher for 3 first-rounders. That's an incredible haul no matter where those picks go. That's a quarterback haul for an edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Except Andrew Berry is just a little... He would have to recuse himself. We'd have to have JW slide in and negotiate.
Does this have to be approved by the Haslams? Like, does the NFL have to come in and step in and make sure that it's all in the up and up?
Yeah, well, maybe it's like when you change dealers at a blackjack table where they do the thing.
Wash the hands clean.
Show here, wash the hands clean, and then Glenn Cook comes in and goes, I got change for 50, and then he says, it'll be 4 first-rounders, nerd.
I thought you were doing Vegas Vacation, the changing 500.
Yep.
Yeah, that one. Listen, does this change anything for me? First off, I love the idea that a team like the Eagles are involved in this. I love the idea that it's super hot was the term that he used.
Super hot.
I don't even gauge that. He's super hot over Myles Garrett.
It's like, you're like 13 years old and you watch the scrambled stuff on Skinamax when you're like, you see something like, oh, that's that hot.
That's super hot.
Yeah. I just caught a glimpse.
So we've had Jalen Ramsey traded for multiple firsts before. Laremy Tunsil was traded for, I believe, 3 firsts. Like, we've gotten to this level where you could legitimately say a team would trade this type of capital. Does it intrigue you, though? Charles kind of put a damper on it, saying that every pick for the Eagles would be 25 and less and everything like that. First off, I don't know that that's entirely true. It seems like it's probably more true than not. But that part doesn't really change the math for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, if the Browns, if Howie Roseman called up Andrew Berry and said, I'll give you 3 firsts for Myles Garrett, that's his first offer. If you out of hand reject that, that's dumb. No matter any of the other things you said about me not trusting Andrew Berry to make this and a little bit of I'll scratch your back if you give me a job when I get fired, no matter how uncomfortable that part of this makes me, you just have to talk about it. Three first rounds. Again, it's a quarterback offer. Like, the Rams didn't get this offer for Matt Stafford, or the Lions didn't get this offer for Matt Stafford. Think back to, like, this is roughly half the offer that of what you gave up for Deshaun Watson.
Right.
So I understand that there's a lot of complications to this. And again, I don't know this is the exact deal that I'd say yes to, in fairness. But if you don't have this conversation, I don't know what the point of you being an organization is. Like, this is the exact kind of, hey, let's think one more time about this because we're never going to get this offer again.
And think about it. The Browns always tell us that they constantly have conversations, right? They're open to every conversation. But then the only thing we have from the Browns is from Schefter 24 hours ago saying that you got a better chance of winning the lottery than getting a trade for Myles Garrett. You see how it doesn't compute here?
Yeah.
It continues to just not add up. But that's why I told you yesterday that I thought the Schefter report, if anything, raised the stakes for me from 3% to 6% about a potential Myles Garrett deal.
I have a working theory on this.
All right, let's hear it.
I think the Browns want credit for not trading Myles Garrett. I think what's the old line from Mad Men? If you don't like what people are saying about you, change the conversation.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right now, people are saying you're 2-6, and Barry and Stefanski are almost certain to get fired, and these guys don't know their head from their ass.
So at least you're not Jerry Jones?
Yeah.
Is that the credit? Like, at least you're not going to trade a franchise player?
Well, I think it is. We didn't get enough credit for not trading Myles in the first place. Well, now let's put this out there again in one way or another, and then we'll say categorically, we're not doing that. And that is some stand. It's not, when I say credit, what I really mean is it's trying to show, hey, United Front, we're not that organization anymore. I can understand if that would be an angle that this team that is so hell-bent on controlling narratives about them. Could I see them, I don't want to say leaking report, could I see them throwing ideas out there and for the media to salivate on and then dismissing it out of hand as like a show of solidarity or a show that they're not completely lost in the sauce? Yeah, I can't put that past this organization because honestly, at this point, I think they might care about machinations more than they actually, or how things are viewed more than they actually care about wins and losses.
Right now, it feels like if that's their goal, it's backfiring on them. Because there are more people that when we did the conversation in February about Myles Garrett claimed you cannot trade Myles Garrett that are now like, why didn't they trade Myles Garrett 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Why, if you're going to be this bad, if you're going to be a 2-6 team with no threat of winning, and it seems like next year with the quarterback class is probably going to be up in the air as well, why didn't you just trade him anyway? Like, they're not winning this. If that was their goal, they're not winning the conversation.
Yeah, honestly, I think the other part of leaking this week is they're sick of people talking about how Andrew Berry can't show up to media availability, something he's done the first 5 years he was here. I think everybody was very quick to be like, right now, the Browns, I think I would not put it past that group to leak just about anything in a name. It's 2-6. It's Barry's leaving Stefanski out to dry. The fans and media have this team dead to rights. They are desperate. And like so much of everything that they've done implies desperation and mm-hmm. or at the very least division between Barry and Stefanski. So I can't put it. And by the way, I don't respect it. I don't. If you're trying to do diversionary tactics, yeah, this is a supposition. It's not a fact. But if this is the game you're trying to play when you're halfway into what's going to be a lost season, I just think it might be more pathetic than anything else they've done, which is saying something because the recent track record is about as low as it can be with this organization.
Well, I mean, 2 weeks ago after the Miami game, we got the Jimmy Haslam quotes to Diana Rossini, followed up to the quotes to Ian Rappaport. And then this last couple days, we've gotten what we can only assume is Andrew Berry. It's not saying Andrew Berry quotes, but we're assuming Andrew Berry quotes given off to Schefter and everybody else. What are we going to get next week?
So to the specific offer. Is
going to finally speak? I don't know.
So I do want to give you a reason in about 5 minutes why there's another reason you have to consider this if you're the Browns. But right now, The crux of this is it is the most analytically driven organization in the NFL. And it's why, like when we've had Sumer Sports on, Lindsay mm-hmm. Rhodes, before Myles requested a trade last right. year, was
she
like,
was on it.
You should trade Myles Garrett for draft picks. And then everybody was really mean to her in her mentions, which is really not great, guys. But we're working on it, okay? We'll get through this together. But like, you cannot tell me that if this is true, which is a whole nother part of this,
yeah.
on if it's actually true. If it's true, the Browns being the foremost analytical organization in football, to dismiss out of hand 3 first-round picks offered for Myles Garrett, would be the most counterintuitive thing. Like, that would be another sign to me of, like, dysfunction or that you can't get on the same page if you're not following the own logic, which is, hey, this is an incredible offer for an aging player. We at least have to have serious conversations about what that Godfather offer
looks
like.
Well, that's why the saving grace of this report is that Charles didn't get it directly from the Eagles. He said he got it from other people around the NFL. So, because it doesn't make sense. You're right. And it doesn't make sense to how would I even defend them turning a deal down that is offered up like this for Miles with where this team currently is. You can't do it.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys on this. Again, Miles Garrett, the trade reports keep a coming. Of course, yesterday the Browns dismissed out of hand. Zero chance. You have a better chance. Win the lottery. Those cut-ups, they're just so darn funny. Those guys. Not good at football. Not good at football. Bringing a lot of dudes who really brought shame to this organization, but they can spin a pithy tweet like nobody, and I mean nobody, would. Now we've got Charles Robinson on 102.5 The Game in Nashville saying the Eagles are super hot. Ooh, so hot. On the trail of Miles Garrett would be willing to offer three firsts. Is that the kind of Godfather offer the Browns have to consider? Another reason why it doesn't matter where those picks would be in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. I'm going to be super honest with you. If you're around Playhouse Square this morning, you may want to bring some nose plugs with you. As I was walking into the building today, they're doing something with the sewage outside. Dan, have you noticed this? I can kind of smell it in the building itself. You can smell this, right?
Yeah, you may want to breathe through your mouth for a little bit.
Yeah, it is not pleasant.
Just going to be honest.
Yeah, I hear you.
Are you with
it? It's like the steel mill smell, right?
No, the steel mill smell was better. Like, you know what's weird? Like, to me, the steel mill smell isn't horrible because...
You know that one, though, right?
Well, yeah. I know why, because my dad was an electrician down there. And when I was a little kid, you know, you're a little kid and you want to run up and hug your dad when he gets home from work. And I remember he was coming home from the mill and I would run up and I, like, I know that smell. That and Brute. I know the smell of Brute. My dad would use that. But, and that Panade stuff that you'd get at a barbershop.
No high karate. Oh, yeah.
No. Yeah. Oh, I think he did high karate for a while. I think he got Brute for the holidays one year, and so that he kept wearing that stuff. But that's his
go-to.
It's Panade, I think, is the stuff they use at the barbershop.
There's a certain aroma downtown.
Yeah. I would kill for any of those smells right now over what we're feeling right now. What were you going to say, Dan? I thought you had something you were going to... chime in. Oh, okay. All right. And let's get into the Browns a little bit here, too, because if I'm going to get yelled at.
It's the bye week.
Yeah, I mean, it should be the bye week on a lot of the topics that we would do
every
day, too. But one of the things that's going to happen during the bye week is the trade deadline, which is Tuesday. And you have to ask yourself, look at these guys, look at these guys who are under one-year contracts, and are they going to be back? And if they're not going to be back, do you wonder if they're going to get traded? Maybe there's a contender that could use something or someone of their talents to be able to help another team. So let's go through a couple of those guys. Let's start with the offensive line, Teller, Posick, and Bitonio. Joel, I think, I don't know. I feel like Joel came back out of the goodness of his heart this year. I do, because, I mean, the guy has given this franchise everything.
Yeah. I can't say enough good things about Joel Bitonio. So this summer, my first day back out there working freelance, standing on the sideline, and the play kind of tumbled out of bounds, whatever, and they pulled Teller and Bitonio off the field or whatever, and Joel looks over and says, "Hey, I thought you retired." And I said, "Hey, I thought you did too." So he said, "Fair enough." So, yeah, you know, Joel came back for this season. We have to all assume that's probably going to be it. So
yeah.
Joel's not going anywhere. And as far as Postage and Teller are concerned, I mean, if you're going to evaluate – a rookie quarterback or two over the next month and a half or 2 months, whatever the case may be.
I don't know how you can walk away from them.
You can't deplete that. I mean, it's already, you know, you're already dealing with backup situation at left tackle.
Right.
You know, Conklin came back last week and that was great. And, you know, Jack has had his struggles with injuries over the last couple of years. So, you know, the heart of that offensive line is kind of one of the few things you can kind of hold on to at this point. So I don't see any of those guys moving. Now, that's not to say that, look, and we all know Andrew Berry is willing to wheel and deal with whomever. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure those phone calls are happening every day, and I'm sure people are inquiring. But I think at least from the center and the guard standpoint, those guys are safe.
And looking, I can't see those guys leaving. For the same reason, if you've got two rookie quarterbacks that you're planning on getting on the field, you have to have some kind of experience. And I do think that the major deficiencies that we're seeing from the offensive line are coming from the outside. It's another reason why I'm not surprised they're not bringing in more tight ends.
No, right.
Because if you're going to cover up the tackles on the outside, you're going to help your offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of those guys inside right now are having Pro Bowl seasons, but that's not to say that they're not still really good players, you know, and they are they bring experience to not only the field but to the locker room, and those are important things to have right now with this squad.
What's your read on Luke Whipler?
You know, it's been interesting.
We're talking about these. I'm talking about if you do need to leave these one-year contract guys, where are we with Whipler? And then there's another question there on the line, too. But
yeah, so Whipler had the broken leg last year, right?
And right.
He's worked his way back into, at least he's in some of those jumbo packages or whatever you have now, and they have him on the field. I think they want to take a longer look at him at some point. You know, maybe as this season, you know, evolves or devolves or whatever you want to call it, there may be chances for him to get some more snaps with the first team offense. We'll see, you know, God forbid, and knock on wood, you know, injuries tend to happen, right? Injuries happen up and down on both sides of the line. So maybe Whipler gets his shot that way. I think they still like him, Andy. Like, I haven't heard anything, you know, negative about him. You know, productive guy when he's been in there, you know, well-liked amongst his teammates, good guy, you know, Buckeye, all that stuff.
Yeah,
so I can't say too much negative about him, but, you know, we'll see.
All right. So when we talk about other guys that could fill in depth on the offensive line too, let me put it this way. I hope no one tells Harold Fannin that he was drafted in the third round, because the third round has been not good
yeah.
for for Andrew Berry. And then you've got another third rounder on the offensive line in Zach Zinter. And every week he's inactive. Every week he's inactive. And, you know, is he coming back from injury? Is he not up to snuff? Like, what do you think's going on with him?
I really don't know.
Because he was ballyhooed coming out of Michigan.
He was, and I think he played in pretty much every game last year. Made a couple starts, as I recall. So, you know, again, you know, injuries are gonna move the depth chart around. So, I haven't heard, again, you know, much like Luke, I haven't heard anything, you know, demeaning by any means about Zach. I going into the season, Andy, I'll be honest with you, when we talked about strengths and weaknesses of this team, I was really concerned about the offensive line depth because there really has not been enough. Andrew Berry hasn't done enough, I think, to get it adequately stacked up in case you have these injuries or what have you. So, the DeJuan Jones injury, obviously, trickle-down effect from that, right? And we've had kind of a rotation there at left tackle. Again, you know, Conklin's been back. And, you know, the guys they've put in at the tackle spots here in backup situations have just not been good. I mean, it's been, you know, when we talk about Dylan Gabriel and evaluating him, and I'm sure we're going to get into some more of that at some point here today, you know, the way the pocket has been collapsing from kind of the outside in has made it really tough on him. It's been hard for him to get outside the pocket. It's been hard for him to step up. I know there's people that talk about he has a hard time seeing down the field to begin with. So, the pocket has not been great, and I think that's got a lot to do with the tackle situation. Again, much like Whipler, I would think Zinter's going to get a chance to get a longer look at some point this season.
All right, let's go, again, one-year contract, guys, and we go to the defensive side of the ball. Shelby Harris is, you know, sitting behind me. Malik Collins, Mike Hall came back next week. I don't. Could Shelby Harris be a guy, a name that we hear on Tuesday moving teams?
I would think so, except that he gives you, you do have some depth on that defensive line, right?
Yeah, then, when you look at the defensive line compared to the offensive line,
I mean, they can rotate guys in there, right? Yeah. You can give Miles a break. You can give Collins a break. I can't remember. I should have looked it up, and I can hear how many snaps Mike Hall had last week. But they're going to still kind of bring him along slow, right? I mean, it's not going to be, he's not going to go from 25 plays to suddenly 60 in a game. They're going to have to kind of slow play him a little bit, see how he's doing with that knee. A valuable guy. I mean, we've all talked about what potentially that front group could be like with Graham and Hall playing side by side, and what that means to both Miles Garrett and Alex Wright on the ends. And so, I don't know. Shelby is a guy, again, 1 year deal, well liked in the locker room, experienced leadership type of guy. So I think those are invaluable pieces right now. Now, that's not to say, though, if you can get a draft pick for him, then maybe you do it. Although
maybe you do.
I feel like they've got enough draft picks.
Yeah, well, no, that's true, too. But I think the other guy that's turned heads, even though he's a little banged up right now, is Aiden Huntington, right? And he's given them more defense, more depth on defensive line. And, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a free agent, college free agent.
Incredible. Swiss Army knife, too. I mean, they've had him in the backfield. They've had him on special teams. He's that one guy that really stood out in training camp. Like, who is this guy, and how do we keep him on the roster?
I'd say name the stadium after him, and then he's good to stay, right? I mean, you don't even have to give him a lot of money. Like, hey, look at all his promotion.
Yeah, no, but what a great story, right? Yeah, yes. Kind of unsung and unknown and made the most of it. You know, spent the offseason with Miles Garrett down in Dallas, which is a good move by anybody if you're trying to make a name for yourself or trying to enhance your career. So, yeah, good on him.
So, I think the biggest name, though, that I think we have our eye on, and I think Denzel Ward's safe. I don't think fans want to see him go anywhere. I'm just wondering.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah,
either.
I don't either, but I wonder what, like, if somebody came in and said, here's a first or here's a first and some for Denzel. I mean, when Denzel, is okay and is healthy, man, he's best in the league, one of the best in the league.
No question.
And, I wonder if that's somebody that could get lifted, I guess, out of the – I don't know why you would get rid of him. Other than you feel like we're really not going anywhere and –
Well, you're going to have to get equal value, and I don't know if that's available.
I don't think –
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would be a unique situation, and, who knows? We still got to get through – tonight and Sunday and Monday as well, right before the deadline. And, injuries do happen. So if you ever saw like a top cornerback, then to your point, then those kind of conversations become even
louder. A team who's one step away from, making the playoffs or a Super Bowl team. So I do think the biggest name that we're going to be talking about for the next 4 or 5 days is David Njoku.
No question.
Because Harold Fannin's had success, and I don't know that that's the way it should be. I love having two really, really good tight ends. And Fannin has absolutely turned heads. I mean, he was rookie of the week last week in the NFL. I don't know how much more you can add. He has like one play in the back of my mind that he dropped that I'm like,
it's had a couple drops. Yeah. But by and large, though, he's been a ray of sunshine in this otherwise
so
dreary
what,
season.
How does his play affect David Njoku?
Well, I think it's, you know, they want to have packages where, you know, Fannin is on the field more than he is already, right? And I think it's you know, part of him being in kind of those more of those jumbo, tighter, tight end packages, if you will. They kind of, you know, Fannin is good enough and quick enough that they can use him in the slot, much like David Njoku was a couple years ago. Like, he's changed a little bit as a tight end in terms of the way they use him, right? Mm-hmm. I remember a couple years ago when I was talking to somebody with the Browns, and I was saying, you know, you guys are really lacking that quick twitch type of wideout, like that slot guy who can catch the ball like a yard away from the line of scrimmage and go.
Quick pass.
And I was told, you know what? No, we got David Njoku. And when you think about it, that's kind of how they used him earlier in his career, right? He would get that little screen to the side, break a tackle or two. Now it's David Njoku who goes down 8 yards, you know, finds a seam in the zone, catches the ball, and then, you know, carries 4 tacklers for an extra couple of yards. So he's a different kind of player, still a very good, productive player. I just don't know, Andy and Dan, what you get in return for a David Njoku right now. Is it a third-round pick? Are you looking for a position player? Can you swap David Njoku for a wide receiver, oh, by the way, that I think would help this team in this struggling offense right now? So, 85 is the one I think we all have to circle here over the next 4 or 5 days.
All right, I want to talk more about David Njoku with you.
Good morning.
Morning, Kenny.
Happy Halloween to everybody. We're big fans of the holiday.
Yeah, why not?
Did you watch game? Before we get into all this, because we got plenty of time to get into all this. You watched game last night?
I did.
How much of it did you watch?
As much as I could tolerate.
If you guys missed that game last night, and there's plenty of reasons why you would. There wasn't a big college football. Sun Belt action, Conference USA mm-hmm. action. Maybe you watched that.
DeSean Jackson versus Michael Vick.
That's right. DeSean Jackson, that's Michael Vick. I'm going to say Michael Jackson versus DeSean Vick. DeSean
like
Jackson
to
versus Michael Vick. But the if you missed the game on Prime, guys, you missed a cinematic masterpiece. And the game was not good. The presentation of the game, the cynicism, the sarcasm, the overall thoughts of everything going on. I mean, the cinematography of the game was unlike anything I've seen in an NFL broadcast.
Looks great on my TV from Extend Technologies.
And guys, I'm not making like a big like movie guys talk about. Like, no, I'm not doing that. What I'm saying, the 1,000 shots where they showed him and then they slowed down his reactions to turnovers and bad plays, the Mike McDaniel, there's no other way to say it, the Mike McDaniel misery porn was unlike anything I've seen in an NFL broadcast. I swear to God.
For three hours.
I swear to God. I couldn't take my eyes off it. And I'm watching this game. I go, I can't. They keep showing him. He looks worse and worse every time they show him. And I'm watching going, I can't. And like, they had a turnover. Tua throws this long interception that gets picked off. The wide receiver tries to catch the DB. The second the wide receiver tries to turn around to catch a DB to try to tackle him, he gets cleaned out by another DB. And they slow it down. They slow-mo it because it's such a big hit. And I'm like, this is Varsity Blues. This is the day after they went drinking. And they're like, the playing the Thunderstruck and everything like that. And Johnny Moxon's upset. And Bud Kilmer tosses the clipboard. It was so well done. It was, if you like watching a coach in misery, if you like watching a team in misery that isn't the Browns, and you wanted some schadenfreude, I don't know how you say that correctly. I got to listen to 2 to 7. Yeah. I'm sure they'll do it. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
You know, Al Michaels seemed bored to death during the time that I was watching the game. And Herbie was doing his best to try to make it interesting. But it was definitely the game where Mike McDaniel's like, I'm definitely getting fired. We had a nice week last week, but I'm definitely going to get fired, and I'm not going to hide my disdain for my players.
Yeah.
And he was just, the emotions on his face, you could just tell he was going to blame his players for every last moment. I mean, you had Tua making every mistake. Now, none of it was as bad as Dylan Gabriel in the end zone last week. But he had a fourth down where he threw a fade route in the back of the end zone that didn't look like that was the play call since the receiver really wasn't running that direction.
No.
On fourth down, can't really just get loose with the football like he did. You had mentioned before the show there were like two other instances where Tua, we took a sack, took a really, really bad sack.
It was really, guys, if you just want to, just go watch the third and fourth quarter, go watch the second half, and you're going to go, wow, they're right. This is really good television right now. It was so well done by Prime. Good on them. And it's sad because, I mean, they were talking about he was the hottest coach in football 2 years ago. Everybody, they wanted Mike McDaniel or they wanted to copy Mike McDaniel. Yes. They wanted their coach to be like Mike McDaniel. And he just looks so miserable. And they slow down him looking to the skies, like asking the heavens for help. And there's no help coming. Mercury Morris and Larry Zonka are not walking through that door. I understand that Larry Zonka is still with us, thank goodness. I can't imagine what my dad might have been. My dad was probably asleep. My dad was asleep. Like, I think his girlfriend has Prime, so he could have seen it, but my dad was definitely in bed. There's no doubt. He is like, the bitter, older Browns fans that are like, I can't stand this, I'm done. He is like that with the Dolphins. He is really like, because the logo change on the side of the helmet, the uniforms.
It's some all sacrilegious to him.
The lack of real quarterback play. I'm going, you and me are not so far, not very different. You and Browns fans are not very different. It's the same thing. Anyway, speaking of Browns fans, and speaking of the Browns, you want to go over this, what Charles Robinson said?
So I saw the quotes on social media. I heard the afternoon show react to this a little bit, but maybe our audience has not caught a whiff of some of the rumors surrounding Myles Garrett.
Well, so there were some people going, man, it's a waste. I go, I know, guys, I know. Like, it's so prohibitive, the cost, the dead cap hit, whatever you want to say. There are a few players that I might work with, but it's so unlikely. But it's like once Albert Breer's not an idiot. He's in the know. He blew on the embers. When the fire starts up, I got to look at the elephant in the room. I got to address the fire that's going on in the living room, right? I mean, if something obvious is going on, you talk about it. And Charles Robinson, he kind of went to bed after what Adam Schefter said. And I think it's probably still in bed, obviously, because you're going to hear this from Charles Robinson. But you can't help but wonder. So go right on ahead. Here's Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, NFL insider, very well connected. 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Hit it.
Rumor going around, and I have not heard it out of the Eagles, but I've heard it from a couple of other high-ranking people and other teams that are clearly on the phones that, you know, Howie Roseman and the Eagles are super hot after Myles Garrett and how he'd give up like 3 first round picks for him, which, you know, if it's coming for the Eagles, those are 3 late firsts. So it's like even arguable when you get through the draft process, you know, how many first round grades do you really have? Maybe you have between 14 and 18 in a typical year. And that means that if you're drafting in the late 20s, early 30s, you're not even getting a player that's really considered on your board unless you're lucky. But yeah, so that's kind of like this rumor that's out there that, hey, like Howie would really love a shot at him. But again, I was told by the Browns they're not interested in moving him.
Three firsts. Now, he's right. Like, again, you have to think about where those firsts are coming.
With Miles on a team, 32.
Say you get the quarterback this year. Say, guys, we just got to get used to the conversation. We'll see Shador. We'll see whether or not he's got something. I hope he does. It'd be great. It would be great. Let me before we do this, let's just go ahead and say, I don't think much of Dylan Gabriel as a starting quarterback. I would like to see Shador at some point. We've talked about that. I would love for Shador to change the conversation later in the year. However, we got to go with what we know. What we know is that he's behind Dylan Gabriel. They don't trust him yet. He's a fifth-round pick, so I'm to assume that the NFL does not think much of him as a franchise quarterback. So we'll have to talk about quarterbacks. When we talk about quarterbacks, immediately I get responses. And guys, I look at the inside out, and I go, you know what? It's a great thing to be worried about because you're right. You need an offensive line. And then I think, okay, if you get your guy coming up in this draft and you have that second first round pick, or you have three first round picks, if you can get them 26, 27, 28, mm-hmm. or even if you go, no, I'll stagger them 27, 28, ooh. 29.
So it's like every year the Browns are going to have two first round picks.
You got to execute them. I don't know the odds of you hitting on all six for crying out loud here, but say you execute them and all of a sudden you can get your offensive line. You can get your wide receivers. So you got to think about it.
We get Dorsey back in this deal somehow.
However,
can we have him at least make one of the first round selections every year?
Well, you have to know this though. Like you have to consider if it's actually a three first round pick thing, you absolutely have to go back and go, I got to talk amongst the group, and we got to call you back. Because the contract's the contract. So I don't know if they can send anything back. Like, they'd probably be willing to send you back A.J. Brown. And maybe you'd still get three first-round picks. A.J. Brown's not going to be not a very happy camper in Philadelphia. They just won a Super Bowl. I can't imagine him being very thrilled
to be here.
He'd
be happy here for, like, a half of a nationally televised game.
I can't imagine he'd be very thrilled. Well, we don't have any nationally televised games later
no
this year.
No flex? We can't flex it?
No.
Maybe a team we're playing needs a game desperately to make the playoffs.
No. So you're not going to have any of those. He's going to, like, if you traded for A.J. Brown, would he even play?
Would he show up?
Would he do like Antonio Brown is a wild comparison, but he's like, I'm not playing for you. It's not happening.
No, I think the disgruntled wide receivers always in their mind are like, I could do this anywhere but here. This is the worst place in the world. Who,
they talk.
Team that won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, they talk. They talk. Oh, you meant Cleveland.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he's thinking, I can do this in Cleveland. I just can't do this in the team that won the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I think these guys get that crazy.
Look, hey, one of them's known for the tush push. The other one dropped a quarterback back 58 times in a game.
It's true.
If you're a wide receiver, which one do you want to play for?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, is he having a lot of fun in that offense?
If you're A.J. Brown, you got to think, they can't cover us both. I know they have Jerry Jeudy basically taken to the witness protection program. They can't cover us both.
Yeah.
So if I got Jerry on the other side, unless Dylan Gabriel just decides to not take his arms with him to a game, like, you got to be able to find somebody, for the love of God. Even if you run a low crosser or something like that. Like, you got to be able to find somebody there. Okay, so let's think about it like this, Tone. Let's think about it like this. Because now the bull's running. So I go back to him. I go back to the thought partners. And I say, thought partners, three first-round picks. What if I can get them to stagger them where we have two first-round picks? Because I don't want too many picks in one round. I know that a lot of people, you want instant gratification. I get that. I don't want too many first-round picks in one draft, I should say. I want to stagger them out. I want more so I can stagger out the contracts, because if you do this, you're going to have a tough time fielding a team. Like, you got rookies on the field. There's veterans. Like, I'd like to sign Alex Wright to a contract. I think he's played very well this year. I don't know, one, if I'm trading away Myles Garrett, okay, how good is Alex Wright to my football team? They're guys who are products. No offense to Alex. He's a good player, but he may very well be a bit of a product of Miles.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's tough to break down individually all the other guys that play alongside Miles.
Saying that guys in the there's always like a Leonard Marshall for LT. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you got to have that in your mind. Neil Smith, great pass rusher.
Oh, there you go.
Owen,
it's a good
what's
pull.
Neil Smith? Neil Smith was great with the Broncos. Was he even better with the Chiefs with Derek Thomas?
Oh,
I'm asking
of course,
you a question.
Yes.
Okay. So there you go.
Yeah.
So do you sign him to a contract, or it's like, it's wasted money. I could get another third or fourth round pick out of this guy. I don't know if I'm getting a third or fourth, but I can get another pick out of him. Do I do something like that? Because I don't know who you can pay. Who do you pay? So now I got dead cap with Deshaun. I got dead cap with Miles, but I got all these picks.
Might have someone to Joku, depending on what happens there.
And you know this, and guys, don't get mad. If they have to consider it, so we have to consider it. You're right about that. Do I know making this trade, like, there's no way I survive this? There's no way. There's no way I survive this. It would be better for the future, but you're talking 27, 28, 29. By 29, you're supposed to be in a new stadium, still getting two first-round draft picks. Now, by that time, you should be out underneath this, but you're in for some rough waters. Even, I know it doesn't get much rougher than 3-14 and what we're going through right now, but you're in for some real rough times.
I guess the only question of all of this, is there a way that Jimmy Haslam has told Andrew Berry what has been reported to Adam Schefter and the other reporters, Mary Kay, which is what? We are not trading Miles. It's non-negotiable. It's a non-starter.
It's no until it's yes.
But is there a chance that Jimmy Haslam is saying, we can't, we took down all the signage of a player that we made the big swing for, that he's even admitting over and over and over again he was a big part of, and that it's the reason why this team is where they are. It's not because of bad personnel decisions outside of that. It's not because of bad coaching. It's just because of that. So we need somebody to sell. Plus, these rookies that have come in, they've been fun and exciting. But Miles is the guy. We were trying to sell Deshaun Watson there for a couple of years. Now it's all about Myles Garrett. So from an ownership perspective, we already are seeing the empty seats. We know the hostile takeovers are happening in the last third of the year, the last half of the year, really. So we can't allow that to happen. Is there any chance Jimmy Haslam has said there will be no Miles trade?
Let me just ask you guys this. 216-474-0092, because we did this with one player about a trade. We've already done this before. And it was like, well, you're out. It's like, make it happen. Now, that was for a current active player. Would you do this for the draft picks and go, it's just more responsible? Because there were, when you were in 2015 and 16 and 17, there was nobody worth three first-round picks. It's difficult. Would you consider it? Nick Wilson had audio of it. We'll play that when we come back. You got to consider it. If it's true, they should be meeting in a room. I can't say I'd want to squeeze the trigger because you are in for terrible, terrible football. But damn, damn, you got a decision to make.
All right. Well, I do think as we get into the second half of the season here, people are going to want to see what the quarterback options are, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're not happy with Dylan Gabriel, what's the next choice?
You got another rookie.
Yeah.
That you want to put out there behind a decimated offensive line and a shaky wide receiving room. So why not?
All right.
Get him out there.
Why not? James in Akron wants to know what? What do you want to know, James? How are you?
I have a problem with the Browns.
Okay.
You got Gabriel, for whatever reason, we're watching people that open downfield. He can't get the ball to him or refuse to throw to him. I have no idea.
Okay, if he refuses to throw to him, do you think that could be on the coach? I'm just asking.
Well, it's possible.
Okay.
It's possible because I looked at the I take the games all the time, and the games that Sanders looked good in and the one he looked bad in, he didn't have first-string receivers in either one of those games.
No, that's the nature of preseason
games. Yeah. You really can't put too much stock into those.
Yeah, but you got second and third team receivers. They catch today and tomorrow they don't catch.
All right.
And we don't know if the receivers we have are good or not. They're talking about we need receivers. The guy that open downfield and Gabriel's not getting the ball to him. He's not throwing it to him.
Are they open downfield? I really haven't seen
that. Yes, they are. Anybody that watched the game.
I watched the games.
I'm going to say
we got receivers open 20 yards downfield. I'm not talking about 50 yards. A 20-yard pass, this guy don't throw it. Unless he's too short to see him because he's only 5'8". So maybe he can't see him. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to find out. I think it's, again, James, I think 4 weeks is not really a long enough evaluation period. And I know
you're no good. If you're no good, that's more than enough time. I think the Browns are trying to trade for a quarterback right now rather than to play Sanders. That's what they're looking for.
Well, who do you think they're bringing in?
I don't know anybody. They don't care.
You're just saying this is a gut feeling. No one told you. Like, you're not like...
No. I don't have no inside information, but this is my belief.
James,
if Sanders look get in there and he looks good and he wins, they look terrible because they said he couldn't play.
Oh, they can get back in it.
They have to prove he can't play.
All due respect, these guys want to win, and if they felt like he was going to give them their best chance to win right now, he'd be out there. They don't think he's ready, James. And you know what? You're going to see him at some point. It may be in 2 weeks and maybe in 4 weeks. So be patient.
There are just 2 points that always come back to. How many teams passed on him?
All of them.
All of them, at least 4 times. And that they wanted Dylan Gabriel in the third round when Sanders was there. So, that's where you're at. The worst thing they did to Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders was draft the other guy.
Exactly.
Like, I can't, you ask yourself for trouble, for drama, for not giving either one of these guys enough time to develop early on in the season, for not giving either one of these guys the opportunity to be able to go out there and play quarterback and not have to worry about kind of what's next. How they drafted two quarterbacks between the third and the fifth round will always be the craziest thing I will wonder this forever, because even if you just took Sanders in the fifth round, people would still want to see Sanders the same way they do, and you wouldn't belittle what Gabriel's doing.
Well, and it's only because it's Deion's son. I mean, if they'd taken any other quarterback in the fifth round, I don't think you were having this kind of conversation. Not to this extent, right?
Sure.
Not to this daily drumbeat of can they make the move or not. You know, listen, we talked about it ad nauseum yesterday. We'll add a little bit more onto it today. I still don't think they've seen enough bad out of Dylan. I mean,
until last game, he hadn't thrown an interception, a real interception.
The second half of the New England game was abysmal.
Yeah.
I think he'd be the first to say that. I think this is a great chance during this bye week for him to sit down with the coaching staff, evaluate how he's played. We can all see that he struggled to throw the ball down the field. You don't have to be a football expert to see that.
Right.
It's very evident, right?
There were some games in the last home game where you could, and this is the problem. And I don't think it's a height perception about how tall he is. I think it's actually being on the field perception. There, and like the last caller said, there were times when guys were open and he didn't see it. And I don't know if he didn't see it because he didn't want to see it, or because there were linemen in the way, or it's, you know, we never really talked about.
Or he's being told not to make a mistake.
That's
because
the other problem.
Flacco was
right.
Turnover prone.
Yes.
So that's why he's out there, right?
Right. Like, we want you because you're going to take care of the football, unlike the guy that we just traded to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So I just don't.
I know.
I have DTR flashbacks in this. I have other.
Dude,
I've
like, got
I'm
Tim,
trying
I've
to
got
figure it out.
Tim Couch,
yeah.
Josh Booty, Josh McCown, Johnny Manziel.
We also don't take into consideration, and I haven't really thought about it since Paul McDonald, about having a left-handed quarterback. And how does that change the game? And how does that change things for receivers? How does that change things? I mean, you're kind of reversing. How many times has he rolled out and you're like, oh, that what? Oh, he didn't throw over across himself.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're like, oh, yeah, he's left-handed.
Rolling left and throwing the other way. Yeah. I know. They probably have not utilized his skill set. And people argue, oh, well, what is it at this point? They're trying to figure him out. He's trying to figure them out. He's new to this. You know, three of the four starts have been on the road, right? To your point, Andy, you didn't turn the ball over until last week. I think there's something to be said positively for that. I know the Shedeur Sanders fans out there, and there's a legion of them. They want to see the kid. They will see him. It's going to be, and it might be sooner than later.
I think one of the other bad things for either one of these guys in the evaluation is the fact that Judkins came out of a cannon and looks like he's played in the NFL. Schlesinger came out of a cannon and looked like he's played in the NFL. Fannin came out. I mean, you have had, like, think about the amazing success you've had with some of these other rookies. And I say amazing relative to the fact they have two wins.
Quarterback's different.
Yeah.
And look around the league. It doesn't only just happen here either. It's league-wide. You don't see rookies step in. You know, are there exceptions to the rule? Yeah. Did Jaden Daniels, you know, come out on fire?
Where is he now, though?
On the bench, hurt.
And how did he look before he got hurt?
Not great.
Like a champion. I'm just saying.
Not like he did as a rookie, which is weird.
Let's go to Jim in Cleveland Heights. Hi, Ty.
Hey, yeah, I appreciate you taking the call, y'all. I saw this kid play in college, you know, everybody did. He was great when with no offensive line. And I'm just kind of curious, like, you guys watch enough football, and obviously the Browns have their opinion. I mean, when you look at those two guys, who do you think is better? And, you know, I know these honkies want to keep my boy on the bench, but what do you think is better? Who do you think is better?
Right now? I don't know. I haven't seen Shedeur play in the NFL. I watched a couple preseason games, right?
And I'm not sure if he was ever great at Colorado. I saw him throw the ball to the Heisman Trophy winner a few times. But I
know this would drive people crazy too. But I thought Will Howard was a pretty damn good quarterback in college. And like people don't even sniff and think that he would be a good success. I knew if you look at the success he had in college, and then look at
the
success.
What was that noise I just heard?
Yeah, never mind. Play it.
Oh, Will.
This was what I was.
You're fawning over Will
Yeah,
Howard.
Yeah, I was fawning over him, and then Jeff's like,
"That happens." Oh, Will.
That's Jeff, isn't it?
That is all Jeff Phelps.
Yeah. We all have crushes now and again.
It's not. I watched the guy go on the greatest college football run in the history of the game. First time ever. You're never going to get a run like that. He beat all those top 10 teams. They won a national championship, and he bounced back from his mistakes.
All for it.
Oh, Will.
Thank you. We'll take a break. I'll take more of your phone calls here in a second. Thanks. Is he still hurt? Can we get him?
No, maybe he's off the IR.
Oh, he is?
Yeah,
can we off trade the IR. For him? Why don't we trade him and have three rookies in here? That'd be great.
Let's go.
Go get him.
Make the move.
Oh, I think Ohio State fans would be excited. Put him back with Quinshon. Get Travion back.
We can't play Dua Lipa for you. I'm sorry. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Well, not yet.
They'll cancel the YouTube.
You know what? If you bring all your friends to the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel, when Nick and Jonathan are on, bleep them other shows, we'll see. Maybe we'll get Dua Lipa live in studio to do a little music.
I don't think we can afford her, man. What
if we just appeal to her good nature?
I don't even know that she's that good of a person. I have no idea.
I'm hoping.
She seems nice, but I really don't know. But we can appeal to a lot of people's good nature. It's not going to help us
out
much.
I know that social media is very thirsty for her. So yeah. I do think Dua Lipa, or as I almost called her, Lua Deepa, definitely that almost happened.
I like the idea of it being like Jake's chance to be a DJ back there.
All right, guys. Now bringing you some... I don't know who the hell Peter Schaefer is, but he's on right now.
Yeah, it's DJ Jake Murrin, and then all of a sudden he just plays his favorite hits and his greatest stuff, and then it's a show within a show is what it is. That's how you know you hit it big, is when you're going to have a show within the show, where then the commercial breaks on YouTube just turn into somebody else being a DJ. All of a sudden, it's like Bill and Alyssa, and all of a sudden in pops them, and then they just do their morning show, and it just happens in between our breaks as well.
Now, we might have to push Quick Hits into the 3 o'clock hour, because many of people are reacting to our conversation on Shador and Nick Costos espouses that I hope that's okay for the morning show espouses that Kevin Stefanski doesn't trust Shador to run his offense, which I think is pretty fair with all the things that we've heard. But Billy in Wayne County does not like that. Billy, give us some truth, friend.
All right, fellas, this isn't really rocket scientist. I'm going to put this little assumption to bed, okay? So, for instance, all right, we had Pickett, right?
Yep.
So we got rid of him because apparently Shador
This might be rocket science.
Was the one that could run the offense, right? So we get rid of him. So we keep Shador because he's the one that can't run the offense. So then who's coming up next? It's Flacco. Okay, Flacco can run the offense, so we're going to get rid of him, and we're going to keep the guy who doesn't know how to run the offense. So now we're stuck with Gabriel. Okay, so he can go ahead and run the offense, and we're still going to keep the guy that apparently can't run the offense on the roster, and that's Shador. So we got to put this to bed. That don't make no damn sense whatsoever.
I think
we get rid of all these quarterbacks, and we're going to keep the one guy that can't run the offense on the roster. Now, does that make any sense to anybody on this planet? Hell no, it doesn't. All right? There's got to be a reason why we're keeping this guy on the roster, because we could have moved him a long time ago.
Shador?
Either he's going to be the ace for this new stadium that's going to be getting planted up here in the next couple years. We're going to plug him in. Because who would you rather play?
Freeze him like he's stadium. Ted Williams' head? Like, what are you going to do? You're just going to not have him play?
They froze the rest of him, too.
If you had a brand-new stadium ready to get open, right, and you're the owner, you want to sell tickets, you want to entertain this stuff, who would you rather plug in, Gabriel or Shador?
Shador.
Right, exactly. So this whole nonsense about, Stefanski not want to play him because he doesn't know how to run the offense, why in the hell is he still on a damn roster?
All right, Billy, we appreciate you. I don't know we got anywhere there.
I think it was a defense of Shador. I don't know that Shador supporters wanted as the defense, but I think it was a defense of Shador.
Yeah. I think...
But it was odd. Like, you're just gonna not play Shador until the new stadium exists?
Should we just move on? Because I feel like it was
a bad call, but I don't know if that means we need to move on.
Do you have a retort? I think I'm going to go in the weeds, and it's just going to make me cross-eyed and probably a little grumpy.
Oh, that's fine. I thought you meant move on from like the whole Shador topic in general.
That'd be weird.
I was like, we still got like 7 minutes.
One bad call. We're never talking Shador again.
Not that way, but I did think you were like, all right, we're done for the day. We're close up shop. Like, we'll treat this like the 7-Eleven when they say they're open 24 hours, but some locations aren't. We'll just put a closed sign up and just call it a day.
216-474.
We did our best today with the Shador convo. We'll try again tomorrow.
0092. I think Billy was probably a little too far in the weeds on this one. I think it's as simple as Stefanski doesn't trust Shador. And whether he doesn't trust the stuff that he saw in the pre-draft process, or whether it's he doesn't trust him to relay the play call right, or that he doesn't trust him to know the offense, that doesn't mean, by the way, that Kevin Stefanski's right. If anything... What I worry about mm-hmm. most here is that Kevin Stefanski had a pre-draft opinion of Shador Sanders, and he's never come off that. And that concerns me because that's the kind of stuff, and it happens a lot in the NFL, more than people realize. That's how guys end up flaming out somewhere and then going somewhere else and yeah. doing very well. This is not a one-for-one because one guy was the first pick and the other guy was the 155th pick. That's what happened with Baker. Andrew Berry had a read on Baker, and he never got over that.
Yeah, and at this point, I don't trust Stefanski's eyes when it comes to quarterbacks. I just don't, and I don't know anybody that can tell me that they do with a straight face. And
I
so,
think it was Ross Tucker yesterday. I think he told you
might
definitively.
Might be the only one, and yeah. and we saw how that went down with Ross, did we not?
He got that hive on his bad side
well,
there.
Well, Ross has disliked Shador ever since Shador didn't give him a radio interview when he did the Colorado game.
Ooh.
I mean, I like Ross, but Ross came on these airwaves and told us. He didn't do the interview at the Colorado game, and then from that point forward, I haven't heard Ross Tucker say a nice thing about Shador.
Pew, 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 pew,
I don't know.
Pew, pew.
You tell me.
Let's go with Sebastian in Arkansas. I think we should call it Arkansas. That sounds cooler than
Arkansas. I like
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Yeah, that's fun.
Welcome, Sebastian.
Hey, Sebastian.
Hey, how y'all fellas doing?
We're doing all right, buddy. Thank you. Man, welcome to the show.
Man, I got a couple good questions. Number one, this is the number one question. How is it that you draft this young man, he doesn't get in any game that's of some significance, but yet and still he's not ready? How do you get ready? The only way you get ready is you play him. Now, he hasn't touched the field in a regular game with the first team offense, none. Now, if Gable goes down and he hasn't practiced, from my understanding, he hasn't practiced none, with the first team offense, what are you setting him up for?
Failure.
The thing I can think of is failure.
Yeah. Right
now,
there.
Now, how about the two gentlemen that's in control of this? Now, I'm going way back. See, the Browns has had plenty of opportunity to get top-notch players. Plenty of opportunity. The year that we got Denzel Ward enough. Plenty of opportunities. This year, we could have had Scatterboo. We could have had Shador and the other kid from William in Colorado. We could have had both of those kids. So it starts in the front office. Barry's horrible, and so is Stefanski. Both right. of those two need to go.
All right, Sebastian, we appreciate you. So here's the thing that it is something that I think is a flaw in the Browns' defense of Shador's not ready, which is you can't never give the kid first-team reps and see what he has with the first team and basically give all of those things to Dylan, who's not ready. And then for me to be like, well, okay, your analysis here isn't astute. And oh, by the way, how can Shador be ready if he's not getting even 5% of the first team reps?
Well, and on top of it, how can you even grade him when during practices he's just off throwing to the scout team? It's all he's been doing. And now it's elevated since he got the backup role with Dylan Gabriel. He gets to just sit there and basically watch as Dylan takes all the reps. But up until that point, he was just throwing on a whole different field away from Stefanski. Now, Ross had mentioned on one of the broadcasts that they'd been spending time after practice. So what does he get, like 5 minutes every single practice after practice and then show Stefanski if he's learned it or not?
About four and a half minutes, and then there's another 30, like probably 30 to 60 seconds where they hand an ice cream cone and a little hair tussle.
The hair tussle might be a little much, but yeah. I like the ice cream cone idea.
Well, I was just saying it's a little infantilizing to say he's getting a chance when it's like, but they've got after practice, you know, like the not part of practice, the unofficial practice. That's where they're really getting him ready. I'm like, okay.
It's funny. My post sports snack, like the parents would always bring, was always either fruit snacks or orange slices.
Mm.
We never got anything as good as ice cream cones.
Yeah, we got in game. Twizzlers.
In-game Twizzlers.
Now you know why I'm pre-diabetic. Yeah.
Nothing like offsetting that cardio that we're getting with some in-game Twizzlers.
They're like that and sunflower seeds, which is, if you've ever had both of those things in your gums at the same time, I wouldn't do it.
Oh, there was a time in life we'd have sunflower seeds, Big League Chew, and then when we got old enough, we'd even throw dip in there. We'd go for the big three.
Mm.
Call that one the triple dipper.
Real quick. And that's also a different thing. That's on Urban Dictionary.
Is that, what is it? What do you call it? The turkey twist? The Turkish twist?
The Turkish twist. Oof. Got to pay extra for that one. Let's go with Scott on the road. Welcome to the show, Scott on the road. We got about 45 seconds, buddy.
All right, real quick. I agree with you. I think Stefanski never liked Shador, and that was evident in the video they tried to, you know, say, oh, it's no big deal. He wanted him here when he didn't even clap when they drafted him. The other thing is, the Browns became the Titanic when Callahan left. When he left, the offensive line went downhill, and so did the offense. And the team went down the drain, if you think about it. So when Stefanski won those Coach of the Year awards, that's fine. It should have been the coaching staff of the year. Not necessarily the coach of the year. That's evident now. I'll sit back and listen to you guys.
All right, Scott. So I do think the offensive line coach is just about the most important thing that you have to get right.
Yeah.
And I never bought the, well, he wants to go coach with his boy. I always thought he was pissed that the Browns fired Alex Van Pelt. And I think there were conversations after that had nothing to do with Brian Callahan getting the Tennessee job. I think that situation was presented as the easiest solution. I think it was more complicated than that. I do think that's part of why it's fallen apart, but I think mostly the offensive line's fallen apart because they've neglected drafting and developing good enough players.
And they spent a lot of resources on guys that continue to get injured constantly. Conklin's been injured since he's gotten into a Browns uniform. Like, it's just, that's the reality of it.
216-474-0092. Does Stefanski not trust Shador to run the offense? We're going to run that by Nick Shook of NFL Network and the NFL Daily Podcast. And we'll also get his take on a reported Godfather offer for one Myles Garrett, and whether the Browns should do it, that's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.